Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel according to John. Be reading from the 11th chapter, verses 21 through 27. It can be found on page 105 in the Pew Bibles. Listen to the Word of God. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." This is the word of God to the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me and for me. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be truly acceptable to you, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. During my years of ministry, I experienced wonderful ministry in many special ways, and none of them impacted me more than a night with Jerry. I'd met Jerry and his wife Gail as I arrived at my last appointment in Tobaccoville. One of the first weeks that we were there, Jeannie and I joined them on a trip, rode with them up to West Jefferson and did some touring and some eating up that way. And just the ride there and back, we got to know one another pretty well and realized that Jerry was kind of a quiet guy, his wife Gail more outgoing. So he was one of the first, they were one of the first couples that we really got to know well, and I was surprised and concerned when I heard just weeks into my appointment there that he'd been diagnosed with cancer. And on a Monday night, as I arrived at church for a Bible study, I was told that we were going to wait a while to start the Bible study. We were going to go over to Jerry's house, and we made a little small caravan over to his house just around the corner from the church. And when we arrived there, I noticed there were a lot of cars. There were a lot of people that I really didn't know. I found out some were our church members, some were family, some were friends in the community. And our plan was to circle their house and to pray over and for this fine Christian man. So what happened was we started circling the house. We really didn't have enough people to completely circle the house, but somebody brought some yarn and we circled that and kind of used that as a conduit between all of us. And we got together, and when we were all situated, I began to pray. And I prayed a prayer that was understandable for the circumstances. I prayed to God that please heal this fine Christian man. I prayed to give him peace, bring us peace. We were all moved as Jerry used all the strength that he had in his body. He had received chemotherapy that day, and he used all the strength he could muster to move from the sofa. We could see him in the window to get out onto the front porch and saw tears in his eyes as he fully appreciated what we were doing for him. But unfortunately, less than a month later, Jerry had passed away. And understandably, his family and many of his friends, some of our church members were devastated. Some people had their faith shaken. They felt that God had let them down. Why were our prayers not answered? Lord, where is the miracle that we prayed for? And although our situations may or may not be as tragic as Jerry's, war which resulted in death, I wonder how many of us here this morning can relate in some regard. I speak for myself. I believe in Jesus Christ. I go to church. When are my prayers, every prayer, going to be answered? People pray for their marriage to be saved. People pray, God, lead me to that job where I can support my family the way I really, truly want to. God, my loved ones have significant health issues. Lord, I even have significant health issues possibly. Where is my miracle? Where is their miracle? And I don't know about you, but I'll confess that there have been times in my life when I've wondered, God, why have you allowed this to happen to me? I thought you were my friend, Jesus. I thought you cared about me. Sometimes it feels as though if God has let us down, I've experienced that God doesn't always respond, though, in the ways and in the time that we expect. Often we petition, we're quick to petition God with our specific demands. God, we need this done and we want it done right now. It's easy for us to forget that Jesus himself taught us to pray a prayer we've just prayed, the Lord's Prayer. And in that he says, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Sometimes we're not patient. Sometimes we don't have understanding for what God's will is for our lives. And I think there's some help in understanding in the scripture lesson from the 11th chapter of John this morning, the story of Lazarus. For Jesus' friends, Martha and Mary, sent a messenger to let Jesus know that Lazarus, their brother, Jesus' good friend, was critically ill. However, rather than rushing back to Bethany, a little town 2 to 3 miles from the center of Jerusalem, Jesus continued his ministry for 2 more days, the scripture tells us, before going to see them. And by the time that Jesus arrived in Bethany, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. When Jesus was at the edge of town, someone rushed and told Martha, Martha, he's coming, he's coming. And Martha heard of his arrival and went to greet him. And you can imagine the words that came out of her mouth. Our scripture says, he said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. On one hand, her statement indicates her faith in Jesus' ability to heal. If you were here, Jesus, certainly you wouldn't have allowed your good friend Lazarus to die. But also implied in her question is the question, Lord, why didn't you come when he was sick? Why didn't you come when we told you to come? Where were you, Jesus? Just as often as they happen in our lives, events didn't play out the way Martha and Mary anticipated they would. For in their minds, surely Jesus will show up and save the day. Our good friend will make everything better. He'll come and he'll heal our brother. But that's not what happened. Jesus didn't make it to Bethany in time. In fact, Jesus purposely delayed his trip 2 extra days so that he would not show up until 4 days after Lazarus' death to ensure that everyone would know that Lazarus was surely dead. Life was not going as Martha had hoped. Her brother was not supposed to die. After all, he was Jesus' good friend. How could Jesus allow this to happen? Even her expectations of Jesus were shattered because Jesus didn't do that which Martha thought he would. But Jesus told her, Jesus turned to her and he said, Martha, your brother will rise again. And she said, yes, I know that. He'll rise at the day of resurrection. Jesus didn't see Lazarus' death as God's derailed plan. Rather, Jesus knew that God had a better plan all along. That is our hope. But unfortunately, Martha misunderstood what Jesus meant to say. What he meant her to hear is, your brother will rise today. Not at the end, not at the time of resurrection. We know that Martha misunderstood Jesus because she replied, I know he'll arise in the resurrection at the last day. Martha believed that he would. But she had no clue that Jesus meant she would see the glory of God that very day. For Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, and whoever lives in me will never die. And he turned to Martha and he said, Martha, do you believe this? And what Martha didn't realize at that moment was, not only would there be one day a resurrection of the body, but at that very moment, standing directly in front of her was resurrection itself. All the power to resurrect, all the power to bring back to life, all the power to transform and to make new was in the hands of her friend Jesus the Christ. For you see, the dark valley of the shadow of death she had entered just days earlier was about to be visited by the only person on the planet, the only person in the universe possessed by a power greater than death. And when Jesus said, I am life, he's saying that whoever receives the gift of life through belief in Jesus will never die a spiritual death. For this life is eternal life. And again, Martha's difficulty is that she doesn't realize that the light and the life have already come into the world. She's waiting for something to happen at the end of time, somebody powerful. Martha's difficulty is she doesn't realize that Jesus is the one, but Jesus acknowledges that he fully shares in God's power over life and death. And he marks the beginning of God's new age, the age in which God's hope for the world becomes a reality available through Jesus, the defeat of death's power to remove people from life with God. Then Jesus continued. He said, Martha, there's only one condition. There's only one condition to receive this life eternal. And that comes through one word, believe. Martha, do you believe? Do you believe that I'm the one who gives life in the midst of death? Do you believe that I'm the one who gives eternal life so you will never die, even though your physical body may decay? It will decay. Believe in me, Jesus says. And Martha's response showed her faith and lack of faith at the same time. In saying, I believe you're the Christ, I believe you're the Son of God, she's making a statement that many of us confess ourselves. But that's not what Jesus is asking her to believe. Jesus asked her to believe that not only is he the Son of God, he's something much more. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Did she truly believe that Jesus could do something about her brother who had been dead for 4 days? When Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, he ordered them to move the stone away from the tomb, and it was Martha. Martha was the first one to protest. In verse 39, she says, but Lord, by this time there's a bad odor. He's been dead 4 days. Even though she believed that Jesus was the Christ, she believed that Jesus was the Son of God, she still doubted Jesus had the power to bring life out of death. Surely Jesus had the power to heal. They had experienced that. But this was different. We see, according to early Jewish writings, they believed that the soul of a person didn't leave the body until 3 days after their death. After 3 days, the soul left and went where it went. And the body was gone for good, or at least until the day of resurrection. That's what Martha was talking about. And Lazarus was dead for how many days? He was dead 4 days. In Martha's mind, not even Jesus, no act of God could bring her brother back to life. He was too far gone. And Jesus' response to Martha's protests came in verse 40, where he says, if you believed, If you believe, Martha, you will see the glory of God. Jesus was saying, if you believe I'm the resurrection and the life, you'll move this stone away from the tomb and you will witness the power and glory of God that comes in its own time and in its own way you can't truly understand. You will allow me to do my thing in your brother's life. I love what happens next. The stone was moved. An act of faith. And Jesus cried out in a loud voice that says, Lazarus, come out. And out came Lazarus. Dead for 4 days. Wrapped in funeral clothes. He emerged from the tomb in full health. Can you imagine the stories that Lazarus had to tell? But by raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus proved that there's nothing impossible for him. Not even death is impossible to overcome because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. In November of 1995, a long time ago, but it seems like just yesterday, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, I found myself in Martha's shoes. For that morning, I was getting ready to come to church. Janie and I were preparing to leave, and I got a phone call, and my mother was there, and she said, you need to come to Statesville as soon as you can to see your brother Claude. He was bleeding internally, and his 19-month battle with cancer was coming to an end. After church, we went to the hospital in Statesville and was told that that night he had had surgery to stop the bleeding, but he would bleed again. And the next time he bled, there'd be nothing that could be done for him. My younger brother would die. And that very night, that Sunday night, here at Main Street, we were having a fellowship meal in the fellowship hall for Thanksgiving. It was the week of Thanksgiving. And we gathered, and I got up, and I talked, and I asked my Christian brothers and sisters, I asked some of you to pray for me and my brother, to pray for Claude one more time, asking Jesus to perform that miracle that he so desperately needed. After that meal that night, I remember Jeannie followed me into the chapel. The sanctuary was here. It was a little impersonal at the time. And I went and I cried like a baby for a long time because I didn't want to lose my brother. But what I was not remembering that evening was a conversation I'd had with my brother just a week or so, just days before. You see, after a valiant, often difficult battle that had taken a terrible toll on his life, Claude finally acknowledged that he wasn't going to win this battle. For the first time in those 19 months, I heard him say something I didn't think I'd ever hear. I thought, Claude said, I'm going to die. I'm losing the battle. I was with Claude 19 months earlier when the doctors told him that he had no chance to live. The oncologist and the surgeon said, you have weeks to live. We're not going to treat you aggressively. We're just going to keep you comfortable. But he didn't accept this death notice. Pushing his body beyond its limits, undergoing every treatment available, mostly experimental. He always, until that week before, always said that he would beat this disease by the grace of God. But now he was telling me that what we both knew, the doctors were correct. My brother was going to die. Claude then told me something that would change my life forever. One of the reasons I'm here in the pulpit preaching. For he told me that he wasn't afraid to die. He said, and I was curious, the reason I was there to have a conversation with him, I'd never been around. I was 40 years old. He was but 38. I'd never been around anyone that had died yet. I was curious of nothing else, and I loved him and wanted to care, but he said, I have a peace. I can't explain it, but I have an assurance that everything will be fine. Now, Claude got very emotional when he told me that he would miss his six-year-old at the time, daughter Jamie, and how unfair it was that his wife Robin, had to bear all the responsibility to raise their daughter. But then he told me this. He said, I believe and accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I have an assurance to be with Him for eternity. And I have a peace about that. That was a precious moment for us because at that time I assured him as well that I believed that he would soon be with Jesus for eternity, but I also accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. For many, many years, we were pew mates, traveling around the Southeast in different cities and sometimes getting in trouble for not being as reverent as we should be as young children. My father had a way of getting our attention. But there I was before many of you that Sunday night, still not trusting that promise that Jesus gave Martha and all of us, saying, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Believe in me and you, Martha, you and you and you, all of us who believe will have eternal life. The week of Thanksgiving in 1995 was a roller coaster of emotion for me and my family. I received a phone call early Wednesday morning, about 2 o'clock a.m. to get to the hospital. By the grace of God and the absence of the highway patrol, I got there in record time. My brother Claude would not likely see the sun rise. And my whole family was around him and with him at 6 a.m. when the oncologist came in. And she said, unhook everything. I'm sending you home so you can die peacefully. The next morning, Thanksgiving Day, he called me and my other two brothers, called us into their living room where he had a hospital bed set up, and he said, come, let me tell you what happened last night. And believe me, with my brother Claude, we didn't know what to expect. He had pulled a very long and detailed practical joke on his best friend the day before. But we go and he said, I don't know if it was a dream, I don't know if it was the drugs, but I can tell you what it was, is last night Jesus came. He said there was a bright light, many bright lights. He said, I knew some were angels, and he said there was one in the middle, and they didn't have human form, but I knew it was Jesus. And Jesus told me, Claude, it's time to come home. My brother, never one to miss a good party, said, Jesus, can I just have one more day with my family? That day was that Thanksgiving Day in 1995. One of the best days of my life as my family celebrated Claude's life like we should all do every day with our loved ones. We talked about all the crazy stories. We revealed a few things to my parents that they always wondered about how that happened. He wanted to see their faces when he told them. Brothers and sisters, we should love one another. We should love our family each and every day and not take any time, any hours for granted. And I began to remember this week as I read the scripture and better understand what Jesus meant when he asked Martha at Lazarus's tomb, did I not tell you that if you believed, you'll see the glory of God? On Friday, November 24th, 1995, Claude Rayford III died. Just as he had asked for Jesus, Jesus delivered. He got one more day to be with his family. He left this world, but also left a legacy for all of us to remember. For you see, my brother Claude believed. He believed. He didn't wait for his death to be in the presence of God forever. He lived his life at least the last year or two. And sometimes when we get to desperate times, we do turn to God. Jesus was with Claude on this earth. And I truly believe this morning that Jesus wants us to realize that the very power of resurrection and life is in Him. That Jesus Christ lives today. And this resurrection and life is available to each of us today. How? If we only believe. So easy, so simple, yet so difficult. And like Jesus' reply to Martha, if you only believe, you would see God's glory. Jesus wants us to know there's hope in any and every situation for every person because Jesus lives. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. So my question to each of you this morning, my question is, do you believe this? My brother Claude did, and I do too. And my prayer for you this morning is that you experience the love and peace of Jesus Christ in your life, beginning right now, in this moment. Lasting for eternity. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.